thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
AC Gray.
Yes.
And finally, back to Podzilla 1985 is Mandy Kennedy.
Hey!
I thought she died.
I mean, she may as well if she was in the beach.
Yeah.
That would have been the happiest place for
her. You guys would have to just start calling me in for these because I wanted to stay.
Phone interviews are our favorites.
Right. I told Jesse I should have did that on the Thursday show. I'll be so happy to be back Thursday, too.
She was upset about missing Smash Brothers on Thursday because we talked a little bit about that then. Don't worry, folks. We're going to talk about it again on this episode with that big Smash Brothers direct.
Yes, we are.
And
this will be the first time we fly through movies.
But I have to contain myself on this show about it.
You do. You do.
I'll do my best. I missed two Thursday shows and like three Sundays.
Just get that coin sound queued up.
I got to.
Right.
I'll do my best.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about Black Ops 4 because me and Asa have put quite a few hours into that already this weekend. Quite a few hours into it this weekend. But first, Kingsman 3 is now filming, which is earlier than expected. I think last we heard it was sometime like early next year that it was supposed to start filming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pumped because I absolutely love that film franchise. That sign does not want to stay stuck.
We're not touching it anymore.
Yeah, just leave it alone. It's fine. All right. So yeah, Kingsman 3 started filming, and they also talked about working on a fourth film, possibly parallel to this one, like as in working on it at the same time. As a prequel story. It's supposed to take place before the first Kingsman, going a little bit more of the Kingsman lore, which I am all about.
It sounded really cool.
Yeah.
I actually watched the second one last night.
Finally.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yes. I may have took a 10-minute power nap, but I saw all the really good parts. I drove 10 hours, okay? I was a little sleepy by that time. It was really good.
As long as you got to hear Country Roads.
Yes. I think that's what I woke up to, honestly. Because I woke up and I was like, what is happening? And then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I really liked it, though. I love this.
I've said it before, but I will always say it, that I really just one day need to get Manny to sit down and make a bunch of sound effects and make those my text tones.
Didn't we do, was that the stars when I went boo-doo-doo for RTX?
Yeah, and I made you do it like three times in a row because I was so impressed with it.
Well, all right. Silver and Black, the Silver Sable and Black Cat movie from Sony, they have decided not to do them in the same movie at the very beginning because Black Cat has enough lore and enough story that they can give her her own movie. Silver Sable really doesn't. I mean, they could give her her own movie, but she's not a very interesting character in my opinion. She was most interesting when she was with Black Cat.
Yeah, so just bring in, just do a Black Cat movie and at the very end.
And then,
bring her in at the very end of that movie and then the next one be Silver and Black.
Which could work, but they also mentioned possibly doing a Silver Sable movie as well.
Well, that would be dumb.
I really don't like the number of movies that Sony is wanting to do in the Spider-Verse.
Oh, no, it has a name now.
Oh, yeah. Because I saw that article and I didn't actually look at it. What's the name?
It's like Sony's Marvel. No.
I'm pulling
Sony Cinematic Universe of the of Marvel or something like that, because it ties into Marvel directly. Like it directly says Marvel.
Yeah, which makes sense. But since they only
it out of my mind
because I read that they have some 300 properties from Marvel. What? Yeah, because it's all Spider-Man adjacent.
Spider-Man.
So whenever they got Spider-Man, they got like all of the Rogues Gallery and all of the supporting cast,
which is just heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize because apparently they also got Silk,
Of course you do.
Sony's Universe of Marvel Characters.
That's it. Which is really just Spider-Man characters.
Right.
Except for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because right now Spider-Man is contracted to be in the MCU.
Like, I know right now that it would be a horrible time to do it, but the fact that they're not trying to greenlight a Spider-Gwen live-action movie is just mind-boggling to
me. Yeah, they went with Silk first.
Like, it's one of those, like, hit that right now. Like,
yeah,
now would
she's
be
really popular too right now.
Yeah, that would be this would be the perfect time.
Yeah, she's been stupid popular.
I don't even know who Silk is, and I only know Spider-Gwen because of you.
Yeah, it's fair. Silk is an interesting character. Spider-Gwen has been super popular since she got like a brief thing in Into the Spider-Verse. Dalton's shaking his head because he had that comic book and sold it, and it's now almost $100.
Yeah.
The first appearance of Spider-Gwen.
And Silk is bad fan fiction that's somehow canon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So bad.
Like, almost every Marvel event, like, on paper, bad fan fiction, somehow it works. Like, I don't know why I enjoy it, but I do. Because Spider-Verse was great, and that's what introduced Silk as well as Spider-Gwen. Okay. But anyway... I don't know why they did Silk instead of Spider-Gwen because she is way more popular. But whatever. Let's see.
Well, so, to be fair, Silk isn't as wrapped up into Spider-Man's history, so they can just easily just make a Silk movie without referencing Spider-Man.
Her entire lore is not completely dependent upon Spider-Man or anything.
Again, I'm kind of hoping that Tom Holland shows up in the Venom movie, and they are not, like, maybe not happening simultaneously, like, maybe not directly connected to the MCU, but the Spider-Man of these two universes just happen to look exactly alike.
I mean, like, that would, like, be fine.
Give me alternate universe, give me something, but you gotta have Spider-Man.
We desperately need Spider-Man in these Sony Marvel movies, because most of these characters do not make sense.
Yeah.
But whatever. Moving past it, we got Psycho Pass continues with three films, popular anime. I actually have not watched this one.
Oh, it's so good.
You know, and it's one of those ones that, like, the premise is right up my alley, but
yeah. I just love the concept and, like, the futuristic of it all. And just, like, imagining life that way, that you're just like, yes, your IQ is this, so you can do this or this job, and that's it. And you can't, and you're like, have, like, chips and stuff. I don't know. I like the guns and cool stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Lots of cool
it was only two seasons, I believe. And then I think they did a movie a while back, honestly, but I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah, because my understanding is the plot line was completely resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
yeah,
they're
much.
Just going to continue something else with these three movies. But either way. A little bit more news on the live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Looks like Ben Schwartz, possibly better known as John Ralphio
from Saperstein.
Yeah.
From Parks and Recreation, will be the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
I cannot watch this movie with my child.
Aziz?
Like, I can't, because I'm literally only going to see that.
Aziz Ansari as Tails.
Gosh.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be funny.
No.
He could make it work.
Maybe.
He could do it. And we also got a little bit of news from Jim Carrey. We were talking about it whenever we first got that Jim Carrey's going to be Robotnik. We covered that a few weeks ago. And we were wondering if they were going to make him CG or if he was actually going to be in the film. Turns out that it's not going to be CG. Like, Jim Carrey is just going to be Dr. Robotnik.
With, I'm assuming, heavy CG.
Like, elements,
yeah, to like make his character.
Has there been any screenshots or anything of this yet?
No.
Mm-mm.
None.
I am so terrified. The images in my head are not good.
And, well, I mean, because we haven't even gotten the full casting yet, so I don't think they've gotten to filming at all.
But
anything.
To be fair, the casting we've gotten so far is pretty great, because Ben Schwartz is very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I could see him, like, I don't know what voice he'll use. I'm assuming it's not, you know, the I got run over by Alexis like John Ralphio, but I could see him being like a good Sonic.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey is just goofy enough to kind of like, he won't hold anything back in being Robotnik.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
how are you supposed to make Sonic live action? It just hurts.
CG, like, it's the same way you like the Jungle Book movie
or Beauty the Beast,
or Beauty the Beast, any of that stuff. Like, CG has gotten to a point where, like, yeah, no, stuff
Jungle
is crazy.
Jungle Book was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, so is Beauty and Beast.
I want a Sportacus from LazyTown-esque mustache on Jim Carrey.
Oh.
Like, if we're not going full CG, I want at least that to be practical, and then everything else CG.
Well, and his legs have to be twigs, and then he has to be like 3 feet circumference and belly.
But I want that. I want that mustache to not be really tampered with.
Yeah, no, I definitely want the mustache and the hair for that matter. But
yeah, that would be that would also be hilarious.
I mean, we'll have to see what they give us. It would be really funny if they go ultra realistic and they actually make Sonic look a little bit like an actual hedgehog.
Oh god,
it would be awful, but it would be funny.
Tails could look like he already looks kind of like a real fox. So.
Yeah,
he's
it's just
cute and the best.
Do we get round belly Sonic or do we get like
the lead
classic or modern?
Yeah,
that's what my son would say.
Well, I mean, he's right, but
because Sonic Generations gave us that.
Yeah,
I mean, we could just get Sonic Boom, have him rock the scarf.
Yeah, Tails looks
sure
cool in that. He has got.
Would he
apparently
buying that show was really good?
I'm not talking about the
it
show.
It can't
though.
Be as
I
bad
understand.
As Sonic Underground. Now let's be real. That was the most god-awful one.
Wasn't that Steven's favorite?
No, Steven didn't know
X.
it. Yeah,
oh, don't
that's
worry.
Right,
I remember
that's
that
right.
whole conversation.
But honestly, like going back to Ben Schwartz here, I feel like if Jaleel White can do Sonic and I'm okay with it, then I think Ben Schwartz will be all right. Mostly just because that's Urkel, folks.
We have to explain who Urkel is. Let's just, it was somebody that shouldn't have been able to play Sonic that played Sonic. Look up Family Matters on YouTube. That's all we have to say.
I mean, you know he doesn't just talk like that, though, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm aware
like,
of
have
it.
You seen him recently, too? Or not recently, but, like, once that show ended and he became just super jacked?
I mean, even...
Like, he went Carrot Top.
Even in the show, like, whenever he was Stefan...
Yeah,
like because that was the last doing seasons. The voice, but his voice of Sonic was very similar to his voice of Urkel.
Yeah,
just without like slightly, he toned the nerd down a little and gained an affinity for chili dogs.
Well, Garfield loves lasagna. That's a hook. That's what Garfield's popular.
I loved Jaleel White, and Big Fat Liar, where Paul Giamatti's character just keeps calling him Urkel, and this was like in 2002. It had what's his name? It was Amanda Bynes and. The guy that played Malcolm in the Middle, somebody help me.
Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, him. It was those two. It was like an old Nickelodeon movie.
What was it?
Big Fat Liar.
I remember. I don't know.
He went to. Not
I remember
worth
hearing
fine.
About yeah. it and stuff. Unnecessary. I just can't.
But yeah, no, I vaguely remember at least Paul Giamatti. Oh, no, I do remember that movie.
Because he goes to the swimming pool that's blue dye, so he comes out with the blue dye. They made his hair orange. That one, yeah. He was like making fun of Jaleel White the entire time.
Yeah, no, I do remember that movie now. Mostly because of Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
But anyway, on whatever. Point is, this could be fun. I
it'll be fun. It might not be
it's
good.
It's gonna be awful.
Yeah.
It like, cannot be worse than the Teen Titans Go movie that I took my child to see out of pure love for him. It was the longest hour and a half of my life.
Made her not love her kid a little bit. Oh. Like just like a second of hatred.
I could have fell asleep so quick.
All right. So Ant-Man and the Wasp looked like it's gonna be the last Marvel movie added to Netflix.
R.I.P.
Yeah, after that, presumably anything beyond that. So I guess Infinity War is going to... Well, no, Infinity War came out before Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm guessing that one's going to be on Netflix
as well. Are they going to stay? Are they going to stay on Netflix, though?
No.
They rotate them.
Yeah, They've been rotating them out for a while. Like, I think you only get on Netflix like the most recent three or four.
I think Doctor Strange is still on there.
It is. We just put it on the other night to go to sleep.
Yeah, so I think it's like the most, because I think right now you've got like Thor Ragnarok's
Civil War?
I think
it was on there.
Yeah, I think Civil War is still on there, Doctor Strange, and maybe one other. But point is, they rotate them out, and they keep like the most current like 4 months after
they
come out on DVD.
Will they keep rotating the older ones in, or are they not allowed to after?
I would imagine once they all are out, once they're all off, they'll just go straight to Disney streaming.
Yep.
Okay.
Because
they're not going to want to host it on...
Yeah.
Another platform.
Right.
Tarzan is on Netflix.
Yep.
The cartoon?
The movie. Ooh,
and
I know what I'm
Robinsons.
Doing
tonight. I watched that the other day.
That's been on there for a while.
I also watched Moana the other day.
I legit think I'm on the kids' option right now. I am.
So, yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to be the last one. So, I guess we'll get Infinity War, then Ant-Man and the Wasp. Then everything after that is going to go to the Netflix or the Disney streaming service, which reportedly will not include R-rated content.
Good news, Daredevil fans.
Yeah, so like all those Netflix shows, we were wondering if they were going to pop up on the Disney streaming service. Does not look like it, if that's true.
Which, on the one hand, like that's fine. Like keep it on, like keep those on Netflix because that's where they started. And
yeah,
like,
Netflix
especially
can
if
hate
that's
for
what
them.
You were going to get the Disney stream for, and I don't have to worry about it.
But on the other hand, like if they, because they've said they're not like they've gone back and forth. No one's flat out said whether or not Netflix will get to keep making new shows. At least new show with new characters. If those do stay on, like if those just immediately default to the Disney streaming service, they're not going to be as good. Probably, like you don't. They don't need to have like the R rating or the MA rating, whatever it's listed as on Netflix. Mm. But boy, does it help.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like if having that just like full range.
Yeah,
like you could do whatever you want.
They don't use it like a crutch, like, but they do use it to its best effect.
Right. Because, you really get some, especially in Daredevil, just some of that real gritty, like, hardcore stuff going. Hardcore is a bad word.
Like slamming the dude's head in the door. The bowling ball scene. The guy when he finds out that he's already done anyway, he just throws himself backwards.
Pretty much any scene with Kingpin in it, really.
Yeah. Or Kingpin related.
Right. So, it would be a real bummer if that meant that Netflix is going to stop producing those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that Marvel is going to keep them on, or Disney's just going to put them on their network, but with a PG-13 max.
Yeah.
Oh, it wouldn't be near as good then.
It will not.
It's Punisher season 3. He's Ooh. Shooting rubber bullets.
Yeah, he's, it's fine, he's kids. Decided killing people is no longer for him. Then again, like, they've killed people on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that, and that's actual Disney property.
I mean, yeah, but
it's just you don't get that. Killed them. They didn't mass murder slaughter them, Jesse.
And it also was not graphic or gory in any way.
It's like the Star Wars, just like, yeah, no, the lightsaber solderized the wounds, or cauterized it, so it's, you know.
They didn't bleed out.
Yeah.
But they's dead. but at least we're not going to get, like, you know, the Batman v Superman where, like, no, that tank is shooting rubber bullets. Those people are just unconscious.
No, it's Arkham Knight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did it in, didn't he do the same thing in Batman v Superman?
That I don't know, but
I mean, no.
Like
I think
Batmobile was he was people.
It's more, I don't think they try to justify the Batman v Superman one, but the Arkham Knight one was more insulting because when you shot vehicles, those were real bullets. Those were the armor piercing rounds used to blow up tanks. The rubber bullets hit the pedestrians. The thing was, they came out of the same barrel.
Oh, and also in, like, the Arkham Knight game, it had the force field.
The electric bumper.
That just pushed people out of the way.
Yeah. The science makes sense, guys.
Batman's so good at planning. He can meticulously place every round by hand to just be like, okay,
no,
I'm going to
chamber, Asa.
I need these four for the anti-tank, but then two for
It's just a big chamber that
the people
rotates.
Who are
mugging
someone.
A chamber. No, I think you're thinking of the actual graphic novel of Batman Arkham. Or Batman Dark Knight Returns, because he literally, like, he's mowing down mutants.
And no, like, says, I'm like, pretty sure in Batman v Superman, like, he shot people.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't justify
it. From a vehicle. Didn't justify it, but, like, the fans did. Or the fans tried to.
Well, I mean, that was the Dark Knight Returns, like, where he's mowing people down with that, and it's just Batman going, rubber bullets, promise.
And, but anyway.
Yeah, so that's probably the way. They just took it straight from the comic book.
Point is, it would be a real bummer to see that happen, like, where all those shows go down to a PG-13 rating, especially Daredevil. Like, Iron Fist and Luke Cage could probably get away with it, except language then becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Like, and that takes away a lot of it.
Yeah.
Unless they waited until after, like, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage gets together and they have a kid. Because at that point, Cage and Jessica Jones are both trying to stop swearing.
And that's where the Sweet Christmas comes from. Which we got that in the second season.
We did.
Which was kind of nice.
We did get some Sweet Christmas. That's one of my favorite exclamations. Mm-hmm. And also, it's a whole bunch of fiddle faddle.
Yep.
Like, that's another one of my favorite Luke Cage lines. He doesn't want to swear in front of his child. Okay. She's starting to talk.
Might have to use that.
Fiddle faddle. And Sweet Christmas. But anyway, going back to Punisher season 2. Go back to that for a minute. It's has wrapped filming, so means we should get Punisher season 2 probably early next year, since I cannot imagine them squeezing another Netflix series in this year.
I don't remember us talking about or ever seeing that Daredevil season 3 was wrapped or done.
Yeah, I also don't remember
or started.
Seeing that. I definitely remember seeing it started.
See, I don't remember that, but it's like, again, clearly it has, and I'm wrong because it's Netflix says it's coming out this year.
Right, we're getting in like 3 months.
So unless, like, someone read that headline like, uh-oh, get Charlie. Like, we need to get it going.
Somebody call Charlie. that'll be, because that was, what, November or October?
It didn't get announced. It's coming in 2018, but Iron Fist season 2 is coming out in September.
Right,
so,
yeah. I know Iron Fist, yeah, so early next year probably for Punisher season 2,
mm-hmm.
or... Yeah, season 2.
Yeah, season 2.
He
was in the Daredevil season and then got his own first season.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, we'll update you guys as we get updated on that. In some CW news with some of the DC, looks like Batwoman is going to be introduced to the Arrowverse via the next crossover event,
mm-hmm.
which every year they do the crossover event between the main four shows, which I really hope Black Lightning at some point makes the rotation, or they just cut out Legends of Tomorrow. I'm sorry, Legends of Tomorrow fans, all dozen of you, but it's just not, I don't care.
Tens of people you just made mad.
But
I
there's,
know.
But like, which version of Snart?
The new version
He's
of
so
Snart
good.
Is actually much better. but anyway, yeah, we're getting Batwoman in the Arrowverse, and we've got Black Lightning. So that's what I was getting to. Yeah, I would rather see Black Lightning in those crossovers than Legends of Tomorrow. because that's just a much better show in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But either way, it will be the main crossover event, which is usually between Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Then Batwoman's showing up some point in there, and she might be getting her own series moving forward, and she's been cast. Ruby Rose will be playing Batwoman. She's she was in a season of Orange is the New Black, and she's mm-hmm. been a bunch of other stuff. I'm trying to think
she's
of
real good.
Anything else she's been in. She's going to be that's a great casting choice for Batwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll work out really well.
I'm also just thrilled that you were wrong. Because you predicted that it was going to be like an alternate universe version of Felicity.
Oh, yeah.
Which, whew.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's Darkest Timeline, but I wouldn't put it above the CW.
Yeah, that would be real awful. She's going to be in The Meg. Also, you're forgetting the best movie, the best thing she's ever done. She was in John Wick Chapter 2.
She was.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, she had to quit Twitter. Because of the backlash? Because the internet, you're trash.
Oh, yeah.
Like, quit being toxic and ignorant and stupid, you stupid, stupid people. If you were one of the people who, if you're listening to this now, and you were one of those who was like, I hate this, I'm going to say terrible things to the actress.
Because it's their fault, clearly.
Just unsubscribe. We don't need your numbers. We do not want to be associated with you. Because you're trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, get disagreeing with a character decision. There's no reason to harass the actress.
Or the creators, because they're humans. Like, right. You can complain about it, but when you actively, like, seek out their Twitter handle and, like, try to get a hobby or a better one.
Right, yeah, better one than just harassing celebrities.
Because you're trash. Because she's awesome. And this casting as Batwoman is great because, spoiler alert, Batwoman's gay in the comics, too.
What?
This isn't some SJW BS that you're offended by. No. Like, that's her character.
Yeah, Kate Kane has been gay since she was put into the comic, like, put into New 52.
Yeah.
It's almost the same as the whole Danny Rand thing. It's like, oh, it should be an Asian guy.
Yeah. Like
wait, no. You don't know, do you? You don't? All right, cool.
Trash humans, because that casting is awesome.
Yeah.
Also, I'm assuming that the crossover bit is going to be like a backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
Where, depending on how that goes, they'll find a time slot or something moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost certainly going to do how they did the Flash as like the backdoor pilot in Arrow.
I thought the Flash just had a pilot.
No, I think Flash showed up in Arrow first.
Well, yeah, but I think there was also a pilot.
I mean, there was, but he was in The Flash before he was...
He was in
The
Flash
was in The Arrow before the pilot released.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were going to do Flash. They already announced it. They just introduced Barry Allen in The Arrow.
Oh.
Get you hyped because
I thought
they,
built up... I thought in the first season they, built up to him meeting Oliver.
No, that was in the second season.
I mean, he did meet up with Oliver in the first season of Flash.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, it's like, in The Arrow, no.
No, not in The Arrow. But, yeah, no, he showed up first in The Arrow before he showed up in Flash.
Oh. I see why you hate crossovers now, because that got really confusing for me really fast.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that after the show. We need to remember to do that this time.
Because
we didn't talk about the last
crossover. Oh, yeah, crossover. About the last crossover, because there was one particular thing that was, Anyway, I don't know if she's going to be, reappearing inside of that first season, whichever episode, mm-hmm. whichever show she gets the pilot in, or if she's just going to show up in the next series, or if she might even be on CW Seed. But I think they said that she was going to be on the CW.
Yeah.
Which
I will say my one complaint to this is now that, because we talked about whenever it was rumored first, we talked about it, but you do have to acknowledge Batman, right?
That, yeah, that's actually what I was about to get to.
Because we still don't have any of that. They have the Wayne Industries Easter eggs in the early seasons,
and we had the one little throwaway line where they were going to call Felicity Oracle, but that was taken
right,
and so then she was, what do they call her instead?
That said, CW loves their little nods to comic books,
they do,
especially Marvel.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. Just the number of times that they referenced Marvel comic books in the last season of
and
Flash.
And specific characters.
Yeah.
They flat out say the Incredible Hulk. I don't know if that's allowed, y'all.
It is.
I mean, it is, but
like
when
Deadpool,
you're a DC property, it's...
you know, why talk about the bad guy? Like, or right. Not the bad guy. The competition.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know. But anyway, I'm excited about it. I really do want to see how they treat the Batverse in general in the CW-verse because mm-hmm. we don't have anything outside of, like, they recognize that Batman exists.
Mm-hmm.
Only in that they have recognized that Bat characters exist.
But and we have Ra's al Ghul, who apparently wanted Oliver Queen to replace him instead of Bruce Wayne.
Which, because they
You would have to assume then that, okay, well, Batman's not there, because if Batman was there, clearly Ra's would want to go for Batman.
Well, they didn't have Talia in the Arrow, did they?
That we
they
saw.
Yeah, because it was another daughter that we never heard of.
Oh, yeah, and because she was the one that, yep, you're right. I completely forgot about that, too.
Yeah, so, like...
CW, just stick with the Flash, but don't screw it up.
Did they, just in general, like, DC is the one that's making a lot of these awful decisions,
mm-hmm.
where, like, they wouldn't let Deathstroke... They had to have the Arrow drop Deathstroke because they wanted to put him in the movie. They wanted to have, like, the Deathstroke mm-hmm. end scene with... Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
Good job.
so they got rid of Deathstroke. Then there were several other decisions that they've had to make inside of the CW-verse because Warner Brothers wants characters in their movie and they don't want to cause confusion. Like, they were actually setting up in the Arrow a whole Suicide Squad situation. Like, we even got a glimpse of, like, Harley Quinn and a few others, like, inside of Amanda Waller's prison.
Floyd Lawton's been a pretty prominent character, too.
Yeah, him, too. And all of them. They had to get rid of all of those characters because DC didn't want there to be any confusion between the show and
movie-verse,
which, okay, then
Except
why do you
shows
have,
are better so far.
Yeah, all of the CW shows are better, even Arrow.
Especially what about Legends of Tomorrow?
Especially the first two seasons. Look, there are people that like Legends of Tomorrow, like dozens of them.
Billy Hills really likes it. Like, he really wants me to watch it.
Oh, I'm sorry,
and
Billy.
I will eventually, but...
No, I hate Billy Hills.
Watch it if it's going to get canceled.
Oh, it's not going to get canceled. CW shows are like, we're making jokes about Legends of Tomorrow because it is kind of like the B tier. Because it's Arrow and Flash. Supergirl can bounce back and forth, but Legends of Tomorrow and Black Lightning are... less popular, but they're still just, they're all crazy popular.
Yeah. And Black Lightning did just get, like, its first season, and it had a shorter season than everybody else.
Yeah.
But I predict that one moving up pretty quick in popularity, because the first season was great.
Great.
But anyway, no, Warner Brothers keeps making decisions for CW in terms of, like, what they can and can't use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of Warner Brothers and the, what do they call it now? Just the DC... Is it just the... No, it's not the DC Universe.
No, because that's the streaming. It's the
extended
DC...
Extended DC Universe.
Yeah,
well, they changed it. It's no longer the DCEU.
Yeah, it's...
It's something else.
I don't remember. It was stupid.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and it was dumb, too. It was dumb then, it's dumb now.
My brain's protecting me from it.
Yeah. Point is, WB keeps making decisions for CW because of that.
Yeah.
And sometimes not wonderful decisions, because I would have loved to see Suicide Squad inside of the Arrow, but they have killed off, like... Most of the characters disappeared or died, including Amanda Waller.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Which, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, she's not dead.
I mean, like...
It's Amanda Waller.
It's comic books, so they can bring her back if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, she's dead and they have no plans on doing anything with her. Because why would they? They've replaced her position to, like, mm-hmm. it's being taken over by Digg's wife, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Worlds of DC.
Worlds of DC, yeah, that's it. That way they can get away with talking about, like...
Multiverses.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
Mm. Which could be interesting. Like,
it could be if the other movies were good.
But it's Warner Brothers, so...
Yep.
Except
also,
Wonder Woman.
Speaking of Warner Brothers and terrible decisions, so we were talking about they have a show, Supergirl, really good. Now they're making a movie with a different actress.
Wait. They're going to have a TV show, but also a movie? I'm confused.
They do that?
That's the worst part about what I was talking about a minute ago, where they keep making these decisions because they don't want the consumer to be confused. But, like, we have The Flash in the CW-verse with Grant Gustin,
mm-hmm.
who is empirically better than Ezra Miller. Come at
He's
me.
He's way better.
We haven't gotten enough yet. We have not gotten enough of Ezra Miller.
I just like Ezra Miller. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not gonna.
No, he's good. That's not saying that Ezra Miller's bad at being the Flash, but Grant Gustin is great at being the Flash.
Yeah, Grant Gustin is Barry Allen.
To be fair, though, that show has done a great job of establishing that world within the Flash and like the team behind him. Like, if all of those supporting characters around him were not as good as they were, I don't think I would like it as much. But at the same time, they introduced a new character who would then go on to join the team, and I hated him. You know why I hated him?
Why?
Because Barry hated him. Like, Barry didn't like this guy because he knew him from before, and he was a prick. So I was like, well, screw this dude. Like, why do I care? And then I had the realization, like, as I'm talking to Jesse about it, like, oh, the only reason I don't like him is because Barry didn't like him.
You're getting worked, bro.
Very much so.
No, yeah, that's like, how hook, good they are.
Hook, line, sinker. And then the thing with the, you already did, tears, crying. It's like, no, why do I care so much? I'm glad that's
so good.
I'm glad that I finished it. I don't need to watch any more Flash for like another year.
Because that season of the Flash
I'm
was great.
Safe. I ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, no, that like even the finish, like some people complained, and another time, it was good.
I'm about to say, we have Smash to talk about, Jesse.
We do.
And Red Dead. I'm hitting those notes.
all right, this next portion of our podcast, oh yeah, a movie. Yeah, that was the bit of that.
Supergirl's getting a movie.
Supergirl's getting a movie. Melissa Benoist will not be Supergirl in this film.
Hopefully,
Supergirl in the show, though.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm confused. Hopefully, she doesn't take like another acting gig, so they have to like see like CGI some aspect of her.
Stupid Mission Impossible. All right, so this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Best comic shop ever.
Ever.
They got my Apocalypse way for me. It's real pretty.
Because they'll get whatever you want.
Yep. If they can order it, they'll get it for you. Comic books, trades, action figures, toys, and also delicious coffee. Mm-hmm. And some other cool stuff. All right. Red Hood got a new look. This actually happened not this past week, but the week before, and I completely forgot about it on the last show.
I mean, to be fair, this is one of those stories where it's like I kind of assumed, oh, we missed it. Ah, that's fine. Because it's like it looks – I'm not a huge –
it looks dumb. I'll say it.
See, I bounce back and forth between it looks dumb and, like, it's kind of interesting. But every time I have that, it looks kind of interesting, I'm not remembering that that's now what he's going to look like everywhere. Like, that's his main look. If this was, like, a side story and this was the design.
Like, if this is how he looked in, like, another Murphyverse thing?
Yeah, or, like, a multiverse something. Yeah. Like, cool, I'm on board. But for that to be, like, the new normal, it's like, that's...
Because on paper... Like, my inner edgelord is like, all right, this looks super friggin' cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
the part of me that bought Cosmic Ghost Rider number one. Also, we will put a picture of it on our Facebook, facebook.com/podzilla1985. We'll put it in the comments of this episode.
It is ugly.
Let me see it again.
I hate it.
It looks cool.
There's, I do too.
There's a crowbar. There's a crowbar on his back. Yeah, do you get it? Because he got caught stealing the wheels off of the Batmobile.
Or because Jason Todd was killed by a crowbar.
It's so stupid.
I just like it.
How did you... Boy, you're dumb. Without the hood up, he does look like a Mortal Kombat character, though.
With the hood up, he still looks like a Mortal Kombat character.
He does look like Cabal a little bit.
If they did another Arkham game and Red Hood was actually the bad guy, he would look like the thug, like the street thugs... That he would have.
He just looks so cool. I don't understand how he don't like it.
Yeah, no, basically, like I said, dumb. On paper, Edgelord me specifically loves how this outfit looks, but like I kind of agree with Asa in that like this is the new Red Hood, and Red Hood is not
It looks super Murphyverse. Like if Asa said, if it was just that, I wouldn't care.
And but. I think too, like, and I guess they can get away with it with like if they say it's in the goggles, but the helmet that he had, the hood was one way better protection just empirically than a hood
and a mask,
and also like he had like kind of like an Iron Man style heads up display.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was in every book, but like there were definitely instances where he had that like HUD up,
and then they actually like integrated that in with Bizarro, like actually talked to him through the helmet and the heads up display.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean they can still do that with the mask.
But yeah, and they can get away with that with the goggles, kind of, but
But like I said, I think it looks really, really cool.
but not necessarily for a main line, like this is what he just looks like now.
Right. And honestly, like we'll have to see different artists' renditions because I don't think that's the artist that will be doing his book coming up, like when that costume change happens.
Do you know when that's going to be?
I do not.
Okay.
I couldn't find any information on that.
I think they just wrapped a pretty major arc, but I could be wrong. That's not one that I keep up with.
And it's also one of those things, like I keep meaning to look into it a little bit more because apparently the Red Hood book now has been like all of Rebirth has been really good.
Yeah. It's been one of like the pretty consistently highest rated books to come out of it.
So... yeah, either way, it looks neat. Three Jokers looks like it's actually going to be canon despite being in DC Black Label. DC went on to, I guess, elaborate a little bit more on Black Label. It's not always going to be Elseworlds and Parallels. It's actually just going to be an area where they can do DC books a little edgier. More often than not, it's going to be Elseworlds, but it can expand on... and a, like a mainline title.
And a lot of the, I think it was Jeff Johns who did the interview, because he's the one doing it, isn't he?
Yeah, Jeff Johns and Jason Fabik.
He said that pretty much like things that happen in Black Label could kind of plant seeds for the main universe, or they could be things that you go back and revisit there later. Or, you know, be like, oh, well, when this thing happens, it kind of got its start in Black Label. But Three Jokers is just definitive... full-on canon.
Yep.
It's also, it isn't as, the Three Jokers aren't as drastically different as I thought they were going to be.
At least not from that opening artist.
Well, and even like in that interview, he said like it was like, so the one that killed Jason Todd is different than the one that like, I don't remember, and I don't want to get into it because I'll get it wrong and I'll just be even more confusing. If you can find that interview, read that, but it's like, their time frames are a lot closer together. Like, I thought it was going to be like, like 60s and Jack Nicholson Joker was one guy, and then
Death of the Family,
and then like this one
Endgame,
and then Endgame and New 52.
Yep.
But apparently it's more pushed together like that.
So yeah, we'll have to see when we get more information out there. But yeah, like it will be canon in the Batman run.
And then in the art, and then the art itself, they all look
almost exactly the
surprisingly,
same.
Surprisingly, strikingly familiar.
Yep.
Similar. All right. Words are hard.
And then in X-Men news, like the Uncanny X-Men book looks like it's actually going to start with a 10-part weekly epic called Disassembled. And that will begin November 14th, and we got the creative teams for that. Looks like Ed Brisson, Kelly Thompson, and Matthew Rosenberg are going to be writing the 10-parter. And the art will be swapped up between Mahmoud Asrar, Arby Silva, Yildiré Sanar. I do not know if I'm saying this name right. I'm sorry. Or this next one, Pere Perez. I do not know how to say his first name either. we'll get a little bit more information on that, but looks like there could be some mutants dying. Some of the X-Men are dying because...
What?
Right? Crazy.
The X-Men can't die.
I bet Gambit's dead now.
I wonder if they go to the White Hot Room. He better not be. They just gave him a book.
I know.
Oh, they're pretty. See, and that's, they're pretty quick about ending X-Men single books, though.
This is the exact. This, well, it's not a singles book, so he looks stupid. It's that thing where the original, like you're mad at him,
because he laughed.
It's the part. It's the thing that always gets me with X-Men in that they oversaturate it. Because the reason I started getting Blue and Gold is because those were going to be the two X-Men books.
Mm-hmm.
It was X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold. Okay, well, we're also doing Weapon X. Okay, Wolverine has two different books.
All right, in fairness.
The character named Wolverine has two different books.
They did tell us right off the bat when they told us we were getting Blue and Gold that we were also getting Weapon X and Generation X.
I don't remember Generation X at all.
They made those four announcements at the same time. Like, the Gold and Blue will be the two primary books with the two big teams. Weapon X is going to be the more X-Force, violent, gory one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Generation X is going to be more about, like, the school. And, like, the younger New Mutants.
But even still, like, they moved away from that very quickly.
Yes.
Incredibly quickly.
Because then we ended up getting, like, Astonishing X-Men, X-Men Red later on down the line.
X-Men Black is coming, all of the solo books, just...
But Blue and Gold are about to end.
Right.
With, presumably, the beginning of the Uncanny X-Men event.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get that, well, except now they're doing Extinction right now, I think.
I don't know. I ended up dropping Gold a while back because it's just like I can't. It's too much to keep up with, and all of the teams keep kind of like changing and
interacting.
This is the part. This is why it's so hard to just follow. That's why I miss X-Men 92. Like, that book should have been made forever and ever and ever. It's the 90s cartoon team. Just, ooh, it's in its own universe.
Yep.
Of just X-Men adventures. But then they immediately put them in, like, Mojo, well, not Mojo World, some, like, virtual reality, the Shadow Realm.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, and then it ended because I don't think it was ever supposed to be, like, an ongoing.
It wasn't. It was just really popular during Secret Wars.
Because they did this thing I hated where it's like they did two or three issues in Secret Wars that were called X-Men 92, 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
And then they, X-Men 92, starting at number 1. To finish out like a little mini series.
Yeah, because it wasn't supposed to be in an ongoing. It just sold so ridiculously well that everybody, they were like, well,
just
let's
do more of that. It's, yeah. It seems so obvious.
I know, but people stopped buying it.
Well, those people are dumb.
Didn't you stop buying it?
Yeah, when it ended.
Oh, fair enough.
I would like to keep buying more.
Fair enough. No, no.
And I'm sure Dave and Mary Jo would love for me to be like, here's an extra $4 for this book that I would like to be made.
Oh, they'll get you on another one.
I stand corrected. I thought you had said that you had stopped buying it.
I stopped reading it, but I bought all of them.
Fair enough. So
I got bitter whenever I found out that it was ending in three issues.
That's
fair. So I was just like, well, no need to get even more attached than I already am.
I'm going to have this for the collection and then buy.
Yep.
All right. And then the last little bit of comic book news, Jonan Vasquez teases the possible return of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac with a tweet. Jonan Vasquez, the name might sound familiar to some of you. Before he did Invader Zim, he had a comic book called Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. And it's actually a really interesting comic book. I'm really excited that it's coming back. It's about Johnny, and he kills people.
Would you say he's a maniac?
I might.
It's the thing where I'm getting dangerously close on Rick and Morty where the fan base just ruins the enjoyment. And that's how I am with Invader Zim. Like,
I mean, that's fair. I still like Invader Zim a lot, but
I haven't gone back and rewatched it to see if it like holds up or if I was just like, why?
No, I haven't watched it in years,
but the fan base and the Hot Topic culture around it, just like it, I cringe when I'm like, oh, I like that. Was I that? I know I wasn't. But just
that
to be that adjacent is enough.
Also, that's still like meeting the voice actor of Zim in ICC a few years ago. Still one of my favorite memories from any of the ICCs.
Mm-hmm.
That panel was just fantastic. But anyway, for all four of you that know who that character is, we can all get really excited. All right, so this last portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their social media content and their shows at ps2jshow.com. I highly recommend checking out their History of Gaming episodes. They post a new one the last Wednesday of every month. All right, so I'm going to start off a little bit. We're just going to talk about Black Ops 4 for a minute. Asa and I got into the private beta, and man.
It's the most fun I've had with a Call of Duty game since Black Ops 3.
Yeah, like it's got its obvious beta problems.
Mm-hmm. Especially today it was the worst.
Yeah, because there were just certain things that just weren't working right. And since there's a big update on Saturday where now like I cannot see my friends list inside the game and neither can Asa. Mm-hmm. We have to invite each other from outside the game, which is a little frustrating.
From the main,
Xbox. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's a beta.
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as the gameplay goes and how all the guns work and all the maps, fun. Having a good time.
I know you really dislike the one map, but even the maps that I didn't really like, I could still enjoy. Because there were still like core places of action.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just a matter of, I think the maps that I disliked the most were the ones that we played the least. Just because I didn't really get a chance to get a feel with it. Which is another beta problem in that we played the same map 3 times in a row.
Yeah,
and they've made
they don't have all the maps in yet. We've only got I think like 5 or 6.
Yeah, and they've made some core changes to the gameplay. Like, there's no more grenades; you just have special abilities that some character classes have. Grenades.
Yeah, and there's not by that there's no lethal or tactical grenades.
Right.
Every one of the specialists have a right bumper ability, and that right bumper ability is depending on the specialist. Some of them are grenades.
Ajax has a flashbang that you can cook for a minute and it will actually like it'll
pop
more.
Yep.
It'll expand. And
Battery has an actual frag grenade.
She has a scatter grenade. So you throw it out, it explodes up, which can do a little bit of damage, but then it scatters and then those explode.
Gotcha.
So it's not super, if you're trying to get like a precision throw, don't try that one. But then, like, another one has where it lays down razor wire.
Yeah.
That makes it difficult terrain for people to walk through, and it damages them.
My personal favorite, the Nomad, has a trip mine, mesh mine. And I love that one a whole lot. You basically put up a laser trip wire, and when somebody runs through it, the mines blow up and it kills them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And every time I get a kill with it, mesh mine.
I thought I heard you mumble that when you were playing it. And I was just like, I literally have no idea what he said, but this game looks cool.
One of the cool things about that, too, is like, so instead of like, because you could get those trip mines in previous games as like a lethal grenade option.
Yeah.
Except if you threw them down and then you died, your grenades disappeared. Mm. But now, since it's instead of having like one every time you spawn, it's on a timer that is not super generous.
And so, I think it gets sped up, like, depending on your performance.
Yeah, because you once you score more points, it gives you a little bit of boost to that.
Which they give you points for everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that takes a little bit to get used to. It definitely takes used to having to manually start the healing process.
Yep. Because that's instead of the left bumper where you'd have that tactical grenade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you now shoot yourself up with some healing juice. And, yeah, that starts the healing process.
Which it still is. It's not instant. Yourself. Like, you don't go to full health. If you're at 5, it takes time for it to build, but it's not like in Pokemon where each potion only does, you know, 20 hit points.
Oh, it fully heals you?
It will fully heal you. Yep. It's just it will take a little bit. So if you get, and I think if you take damage, it stops it.
It keeps going.
Does it?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I noticed that a couple of times because I was wondering if it would heal up to full since I had started it before I got damaged.
It happened too many, it happened where too fast because like if I got hit, I was done.
Yeah, that's
pretty
fair.
Much because that's just how I am at Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot of fun. Once you get used to the game, the new mechanics, it's okay. Not super thrilled with how they're putting the team deathmatch in. You have to do team deathmatch or kill confirmed.
I'm sure that's just a beta.
I don't think it is. Because
it's the mosh pit.
I don't think it is. I hope you're right, and I hope that is just a beta thing. But
because it's called deathmatch mosh pit in there, because there are going to be more modes in general. Because right now, most of the really popular modes are inside of mosh pit.
Yeah.
Various ones. There's the control mosh pit, the deathmatch mosh pit. Then you can do Heist, which is the new mode that's a whole lot like classic Counter-Strike. Or there's the control mode, which is basically like attack and defend objective.
Yep.
And I forget what the other one was on there.
I don't remember.
It's really fun, and I'm enjoying the crap out of this beta. I'm actually a little hyped for this game now.
Yeah. This was like on my list of games that I have a bunch of games I'm going to end up buying this in the rest of the year. That was down towards the bottom because I was like, it's Call of Duty. It hasn't been great in a while. Like, but yeah, this beta's got me super hyped.
Yes. Really excited about this beta. Anyway, some more news now that we can actually all get involved in with some real hype. Smash Brothers Ultimate. We got a direct. And
I have a Switch now, so I'm more excited.
And what a fantastic direct this was. All right, so it opens up with...
it just starts with the hooded figure of Simon Belmont.
Ready to go.
Just like you don't know that's him, but you know that's him.
Yeah. So they the first thing they did was introduce to us Simon Belmont and Richter Belmont as an Echo.
Now to be fair, before they did that, they murdered Luigi.
So they're both dead.
They're killing like the Mario Brothers. Both Mario Brothers, because Ripley stabbed Mario through the chest with her tail, and then death itself ripped Luigi's soul out of his body with his scythe.
It was pretty metal. Yep.
I don't care what the offshoot Nintendo UK Twitter says. Luigi dead. Luigi is not okay.
No, he's not.
Does neither anybody is Mario. Really care,
he's fine.
Oh. Some people, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, Dunk.
Like he listens to this show. We also got a couple of new Echo characters. Krom.
Oh, yeet. Boy. Finally, we get a blue-haired sword wielder from the Fire Emblem franchise.
You stop it right now.
I actually defended this in front of Shannon and Ace, and I thought I was going to die.
You stop right there.
It's just I'm celebrating. It's great. It's finally happened.
Glad Mandy's on this, so I don't have to yell at Ace.
Krom's cool. I like Krom. I've played that Fire Emblem.
I mean, he's no Marth or Roy, but it's okay.
But we got them already.
Oh, he's very much like Marth.
After almost the like, show, Asa.
almost like an Echo.
After the
he's an Echo of Roy.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Ha, 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 ha.
Which I'm actually, what color haired sword wielder is Roy?
He has brown red hair.
Oh, okay.
Red hair. Brown hair. Red so hair. Both.
Get your story right.
It's red.
You get, after the show, Asa, we're throwing down.
So, yeah, Krom is an echo of Roy, which I was actually a little bummed with. With the video, he has ether. I was thinking he was going to be an echo of Ike, and I was super stoked about it.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it just seemed to make more sense.
But then, yeah, he ended up being an echo of Roy, which Roy is cool in Smash 4.
He's amazing.
Wait, he's saying he's your boy.
He is.
Mandy's yes.
She raised the roof and everything.
I mean, he's a cool character. Honestly, he'll be my second boy, though, because of Young Link.
Yep, Young Link's
coming back. He's the original my boy.
Yeah, so either way, and we got Dark Samus, which is an echo of Samus. So,
what?
Yeah, I know. We now have.
I thought it was going to be like Kirby or something.
We now have four Metroid characters in Smash Brothers.
Compared to the like nine.
Yeah, it's like we did the count on Thursday. It was like 8 or 9 Fire Emblem characters. Yeah. And then like 11 Mushroom Kingdom characters. Yeah.
But they're all a little different. They're not all swords.
Yeah, but all of those Metroid characters is a very diverse characters from the roster.
Yeah,
you got Ripley. You got Samus. You got Swimsuit Samus. and then you got Dark Samus. You got Evil Samus.
Like. Yep. Yeah, the 3 out of 4 are Samus.
Is it Samus? Because I'm saying that because you said I thought it was Samus.
I always say Samus.
I say Samus, but I think it's actually Samus.
I don't know.
I've always said
it's
Samus.
It's fine. The Rolly girl.
She shoots things. All right. So, yeah. And Dark Samus actually represents the first character in Smash Brothers that originated in the United States. Dark Samus, the game, was developed in the U.S., the game that Dark Samus is in.
About time.
Yeah, so that's interesting. We also got a total stage count because we got a bunch more stages introduced.
Jesus.
103 total stages
hours
in Smash Ultimate.
To be played.
Yeah, and on top of that.
So many to be ignored for Final Destination and Battlefield.
Right? Well, on top of that, like they've introduced the, we talked about it before, there's the Final Destination mode is back. The Battlefield mode is new, so you can now play any stage like shaped like Battlefield
with three platforms.
And on top of that, they announced in the Smash Direct that you can turn off stage hazards in each stage,
mm-hmm.
which, yes, please.
That's super cool.
That, oh man.
We saw Brimstar
really
come back. I hate that level. That is by far my least favorite
level.
Brimstar. It's the one. It's the Metroid
the
one
Metroid
where it like rotates
that is
in the lava.
God awful, most worst. Rage.
Hate it.
But anyway,
even more reason for me to say, Jesse, I don't care whenever you ask me which stage we're playing in.
But yeah, now you can turn off stage
but now
hazards.
You have,
so that.
So
yeah, that
spin.
Introduces so many more options. Yeah, won't spin. Lava won't rise. Like mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, I know.
Plus,
right?
Plus, like the with the variance in like the Final Destination and Battlefield modes, it's like over 300
stage
combinations that you can have.
I'm so excited.
All right, you can also do the customizable rule sets, which made me super happy. So, like, you can make a rule set whenever you go in before you pick to play. You're like, all right, we're gonna do regular Smash, no items, and like you know,
stock.
Yeah. And the number of stocks. So you don't have to then go in and set it every single time. That makes me really happy.
Oh, you save it so next time you turn on the Switch.
Yep. So you can have a party mode. You can have Pokemon mode. Like you can have all these different modes going. And that way, instead of, you know, going through and setting the rules every time you want to do something, you just pick like that's the preset.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Tournament mode, perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which they did show off a couple of new tournament modes. Do you remember that mode we used to play like at your brother's all the time, where we'd have teams, and it was just the like I don't remember what Pat called it, but
the I'm gonna beat you mode.
For Pat, yes.
It was like 1-on-1, and if you won, you played the next person in line, and you kept going.
Yeah,
they've actually added that as an actual mode.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes me really happy.
Oh my god! So we're taking like a weekend off for this, right?
There's a Marvel vs. Capcom mode now, where you pick three fighters. You can pick either three or five fighters and just like keep playing.
That's cool.
Is there eight player Smash like there was on? Is that still a thing?
Well, I don't know if 8 player
was
because
since it's
you
on
can't there. Support. There's only 2 or 3 USB ports on the Switch.
Do you see that bundle that they're coming out with? I'll probably have to get that because I don't have an adapter or anything. Since
wait,
I never
there's
got a Wii U.
No,
you
it's just in the UK only.
Oh, was it? It's just the adapter and a GameCube controller to get. And I don't have.
I have a pro controller.
But,
I'm good.
But that bundle is UK only so far. They haven't announced that for an America release.
That's just another thing America's getting screwed on video game wise.
Right.
You're going to want a GameCube controller, by the way.
I have no. I
he
spent.
He won't. He won't get it. He won't get into it enough to notice a difference.
I mean, it mostly it's just for playing with, you know, everybody else.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because
if they,
hooking your pro controller up to it could become a nuisance.
If they give me a brand new GameCube controller that I can just go spend $30 at Walmart,
they are.
That's what's
okay.
Happening.
Well, then I might do it.
Yeah, if I get a black one with the Smash logo on it.
Oh, I want a cooler looking one than that.
We talked about those other ones, like the
ones
like
from
Mario,
PDP.
Zelda, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have options.
Yep. Okay, cool. All
right. Let's see. One of the other things, they made a little bit of a change to a Final Smash, and they had a lot more stuff than what I'm going to list here, but we're a little low on time, and also this is most of the stuff that I care about. they have a different Final Smash option. Now you can play where you charge a Final Smash,
mm-hmm.
and it's slightly weaker than the Smash Ball, but the more fighting you do, the more charge you get, and you can actually do a weaker version of the Final Smash.
That's awesome.
Sounds super cool. Like, it'll be a fun party mode thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Squad Strike, that's what they're calling it. That game type I was talking about a minute ago. And they also, I loved at the end of the Direct, this was probably the coolest way to announce this new character. So we get Donkey Kong and Diddy hanging out in their little hut.
Before we get that, we get these amazing artistic renditions of Mario versus Bowser and Link versus Ganon and Kirby versus DDD and like Fox versus Wolf, because Wolf's been in the game for two generations now.
Well, he wasn't in Smash 4.
Nope.
But he's been in previously and he'll be in this one.
He was in Brawl, yeah.
Can we talk of that game?
Do what?
Nothing.
Yeah, right? Project M?
Trip.
So anyway.
So we get all of that, and then finally Donkey Kong.
Yeah, we get Donkey Kong and Diddy hanging out in their little shack, and we're like, oh, King K. Rool? They go and announce King K. Rool?
They have to, because of what we just saw.
So then you get, like, you know, there's a ruckus outside. Diddy mm-hmm. and Donkey Kong get up there. You see a silhouette of King K. Rool. Their eyes bug out through the cabin. Then, like, you know, the silhouette fades away, and it's King DDD.
He pulls off the cloak.
Diddy and Donkey Kong are, you know, in panic mode, and geez, DDD starts laughing at them.
Did you know that DDD is voiced by Sakurai?
Yeah.
That makes it even better.
Yeah, he was the one that did the laugh track for that.
Yeah.
DDD was crying, laughing. Mm-hmm. This hit a sweet spot for me.
And then DDD gets slapped away.
Which was a sweet spot for me and Asa.
And then King K. Rool steps up to the plate.
Oh, so good. We get just one little animation of him in the pirate outfit. I'm so on board. Finally, King K. Rool should have been in this game long before a bunch of these other characters that we've gotten. Just, oh, it's so cool.
Did you hear the creator was talked to about this, and they asked him about King K. Rool, and he was like, yeah, no, now I'm kind of wishing that I had given him a better name. So, yeah, King K. Rool will be a playable character in the next game.
With that theme, too.
Yep.
Which they're going super hard on the music.
Yeah.
Like,
several hundred tracks. They added, like, mm-hmm. what, 30-something tracks for Castlevania?
Yeah.
Just for the one stage.
Dang.
Yeah. And then you can pick and choose which ones you want to play.
That's
in
good.
The stage.
Which you can do in Smash 4, but they drastically improved it.
See, yeah, because now it's like, if you're in a stage that's Majora's Mask themed, you can pick music from
Castlevania or anything else.
Well, or even like you can pick music from other games in the Zelda franchise.
Yeah.
I almost said Breath of the Wild, but I don't think that game had any music in it.
It did.
I mean, it did. That was,
but
the,
like,
it was
ambient
it was a
music.
Joke. But yeah, it doesn't have like a really anchoring theme that I'm still bitter about. But anyway, but it's cool. And like you can turn it into just a straight up music player.
Walk around with your Switch listening to the
with
Smash
the screen
soundtrack,
off,
with
like
the screen
yeah,
off.
listening to like
that's sweet.
From a bunch of different, all these different, like this is a just a love letter to video games.
Because it
point.
Was over 1,000 sound or like music tracks are going to be in this game.
It's when you could put in like menu music and stuff like that.
Yep.
Also, we got a bunch of new assist trophies that should be characters, but whatever.
Yep.
Zero and Knuckles and Shovel Knight.
Oh. Yeah, Shovel Knight got announced as an assist trophy. And then we also got a little bit of a teaser of, like, there's another mode, and because we got to see the home menu,
mm-hmm.
and there's a mode that was all digitized and faded out.
Subspace Emissary.
That's what everybody's hoping
for.
Gotta
be. You can't make that kind of build up
and
have it to be like, oh, this is where the tournament mode goes.
All right, and then to kind of, like, rapid fire, but not so rapid fire through the last bit of stuff here, because we are at 60 minutes. Fallout 76 looks like it's going to have perk cards. Bethesda did not learn anything from EA's trouble with Star Wars Battlefront. They have introduced perk cards, which you can't buy for money, at the very least. You get them for leveling up, but it does add buffs to your character behind a loot box wall, basically. Just that you can only random? Earn... Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you get a pack of cards. Mm-hmm. It's every two levels up to level 10, and then every five levels after that, you get a pack of cards with different buffs and different power-ups and stuff like that. It's not quite as egregious as Star Wars system was.
Yeah, at least
was.
You can't buy it for money.
Right, but even still, like, putting that stuff behind a random wall is ridiculous.
You should just
me.
Be able to pick, like, a skill tree.
Yep.
At that point.
Instead of these bogus cards.
Because I didn't read the article, because I'd like, they could not say anything that would make me buy Fallout 76, just because I'm not a fan of the franchise. Like, yeah. it's a miss on me.
Like, the multiplayer aspect of it has me interested. Like, if we were all going to sit here in the store and play it, like, that could be cool. But
I would come in and be like, Jesse, Call of Duty.
Yeah. And we also got a little bit of news. If you are a douche in the game and you start just griefing other players, you'll actually rack up a bounty. And if somebody kills you, like, they're alerted to your presence, and if they kill you, they earn that bounty, and it actually comes out of your stash of bottle caps.
Good.
Oh.
Yeah.
That good. Is pretty cool.
Assuming they're not just, like, already lost all of their bottle caps and don't really have anything to lose, so...
So they're just going around griefing people?
Yeah.
Maybe you can't do that until you have so many bottle caps.
They need to do what Grand Theft Auto Online did. In that, like, you turn on passive mode. Well, they do start putting a bunch of griefers in the same server, but you could just turn on passive mode, and you could not attack. Like, you couldn't draw a weapon to attack other players, but they also could not attack you or run you over, because, like, you basically became a ghost.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was definitely the best way to take care of that. Mm-hmm. But we also got Negan from Walking Dead will be DLC in Tekken 7. The World Ends With You Final Remix has a release date as of October 12th for the Switch.
Birthday present, anybody?
Just real quick, it's important to note that it's going to be Negan from the AMC's Walking Dead. This isn't like a new version of Negan. This is going to be Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Lucille.
Yes.
Which, if you told me that Negan was going to be in a fighting game, Tekken's not the one I would have guessed.
Nah.
Because Soul Calibur is about to come out.
Yeah. That would make a lot more sense than Soul Calibur.
I mean, it still wouldn't make sense, but the fighting style, definitely.
More.
Yeah.
Sense. I mean, especially like Soul Calibur, you look at stuff where, like, I'm looking at a poster right now that has Link in Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
And there's another one where you got Heihachi, and you've also got Spawn.
I really just want to see the Soul Edge version of Lucille.
Yoda and Darth Vader.
Ezio.
Yeah. Anyway, Soul Calibur would have made a lot more sense.
Mm.
Either way, and the last thing we're going to talk about real quick, Red Dead Redemption 2 got a gameplay video.
Yeah.
This is another one of those. It's a miss for me. Unless the online is amazing, then I'm probably not going to grab this. So I'll leave this discussion to you guys.
Yay.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I also very much like that you have different, like, the different locales. Like, all of these different ecosystems look like they're going to be bigger and fleshed out, as opposed to just, like, desert, town in a desert.
Forest.
Little bit of forest, more desert.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it wasn't that basic, but, like, you get swamps, you get plains, you get all sorts of stuff. It looks...
The map looks gorgeous and huge.
They said we're going to get more of these gameplay trailers featuring, like, missions and the actual Deadeye system. From what we saw, it looked really good, like, the combat-wise. I'm not entirely sold on a lot of it, though.
The settlement thing? Well, not the settlement thing, but the
camp.
Yeah.
So, like, your camp, your gang is a family, so you have to do, you'll have missions to, like, improve the quality of life at the camp. I do not want that to be required. Like, I don't want to be running missions for so-and-so because, like, oh, the camp's hungry. That shouldn't be on me. I don't, because Rockstar can either do it really, really well, or it could be like Grand Theft Auto 4, and that your cell phone's blowing up every 5 minutes, like, because my cousin wants to go bowling.
Yeah.
And that was just super annoying. Similar thing with, like, the horse, because your horse is going to be, like, your mobile base of operation, so that's where you're going to keep your, you're not just going to have the scroll wheel of weapons anymore. You're going to have to go to your horse to actually, like, swap stuff out, and that's what you're going to use to transport goods to your camp and to town. So I feel like we're going to get, like, a weight limit on the horse.
Also, the moment where they're, like, the most realistic gunplay, and then you literally see the dude pull from a pistol to a shotgun in a second and a half.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how that works, even a little bit.
Because I don't need my Rockstar games to be realistic. Like, that's not why I'm playing these. Like, grounded, yes, but not realistic. Like, I don't need a Wild West sim.
Right, because that's the thing that a lot of people I hear complaining about, because it looks like it will be a Wild West simulator. Like, that's not what we want. Yeah. We want a video game in the Wild West.
But I love the, like, the dialogue options.
Yeah.
Not dialogue, but as you're interacting with NPCs, like, if you're coming by me on a horse and I'm coming to you, I can either, like, antagonize or greet. Like, you have those options. Like, if you're in an argument with someone, you can choose to escalate or de-escalate and try to talk your way out of situations. Like, it comes up to this guy hanging from a cliff, and it gives you the option to save him or kill him. Just, like, stuff like that looks awesome. Because one thing Rockstar does is they make their worlds feel, like, lived in.
Yeah.
And feel like there's actual, you know, people going on and interactions. So that's super cool. I also don't think I don't remember who said it, so I'm totally just copying them. But someone's like, I don't think the Red Dead Online is going to be near as popular or good as Rockstar or as Grand Theft Auto. Because Grand Theft Auto, you could add, like, helicopters and planes and stunt races and all of this wacky out there stuff.
Yeah, the races were fun.
And you're really not going to have that aspect in Red Dead.
You got horse racing?
Yeah.
And he said the same thing.
And my response to you is the same as him. Is like, in the first Red Dead, the horses kind of handled like butt.
A little bit.
No, they did, because I played the first Red Dead a lot in that I played the multiplayer a lot.
Story was great. You should go back to that.
Yeah, the story is really good.
I believe you. I really do.
You could gamble your money on horse races in online mode, like the Derby.
There you go.
You can go to Derbies.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, like, it's one of those things that I know I'm wrong, but there are very few sandbox games that I can really get into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am really bad at getting into sandbox games.
Which is fair.
Yeah, like, I don't know why. I cannot explain it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I played a lot of the online, though, because there I do like a sandbox when I'm playing with friends. And, I played a whole lot with Kevin Schenkelberg and Shannon. And it was really, really fun. Like, the horse riding was kind of busted, especially, like, early days of the game, where the horse would just randomly disappear. Somewhere I still have a picture of, like, the three of us riding around, like, you know, the West, with me and Shannon on horses and Kevin just
floating.
It looks really, really funny. I do want, if the online is really good, I'll end up picking this game up if everybody else is playing it online.
I'm real curious if the online's going to launch at the same, like the day I go and buy my copy on day one, if I'll be able to access online, or if it's going to be like a Grand Theft Auto thing where that comes later.
I thought they had like a version of the online at launch on GTA 5.
I don't think they did.
I don't know. I wasn't.
Because I think I remember. No, I don't think. I really don't think that they did. Because that came later. Because when it came, it was broken AF.
I do, like, remember it being really
super
broken.
And then heists didn't come until months after it had become a little bit more stable.
Yeah, heists didn't come until the game released on next gen.
Yeah.
Which, like, the game came out, like, 2 years before the PS4 and Xbox One came out?
And it's that time period that I feel like is kind of crippling it a little bit, because like the heists now, they keep adding stuff. Like, there's a new they're bringing back Gay Tony, like, so now you can run like nightclubs and stuff in Grand Theft Auto, and so you can run, and you know, you have like weed farms and biker gangs and stuff like that, so you can set up like your own outlaw gang and set up heists as like a train robbery or bank robbers and stuff like that. But when you do the heist in Grand Theft Auto, it's, all right, go steal this specific vehicle. Okay, well, we need someone in a helicopter doing air support and all of this really elaborate stuff that I don't see how they're going to make that work in the setting of Red Dead. Now, if they go full, like, Saints Row for the online and they just make it wacky, I could be into that, depending.
But it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Like, if we just get weird, like, Da Vinci-style flying machines and...
Because we would have already have seen that. Like, that's...
I don't think we would have.
I don't either.
Rockstar plays a lot of stuff real close to the vest, especially when it comes to stuff like that.
Yep. Can confirm. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us, though. Pokemon Let's Go, we can spare 2 minutes on that.
It looks so fun.
They showed off, like, the gym leaders that we can battle. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it will be the full-fledged original games, like the
yellow
version specifically. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a full-fledged Yellow remake, because it specifically mentioned boarding the SSN, fighting like Misty and Lieutenant Surge and that kind of stuff.
Was Meowth in the trailer? Because we saw Jesse and James.
We saw Jesse and James, but I didn't see Meowth.
I don't know if I saw,
Rude.
So, yeah, well, Team Rocket will be back in the form of, with Jesse and James.
Mm-hmm. And he had that dual fight with Koffing and Ekans.
Yeah. That was cool to see.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, lots of nostalgia going to be in this game.
It was so happy and fun.
The gif from Reddit of Staryu following the player and he's just a helicopter. Like, okay.
I don't know which one I'm supposed to pick, though.
I'm going Eevee.
I'm going Pikachu.
I don't know which one. I mean, I'll probably buy both because I'll get one and then my child gets one. Win-win, right?
That makes sense.
Right? Okay, good.
We just got to remember to catch duplicates of the ones that we don't.
Oh, yeah, the unique
find in
ones.
The wild, yeah.
Why
yeah.
can't it be Let's Go Vulpix? Then I would know.
That'd be an easy decision.
That would be a real easy decision for Mandy. But anyway, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.